Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce him. It is Scott Steyer, retired, former Green Beret, Delta Force operative. He's with Delta. Wow, you were with Delta. Now he's with Aero Precision. So that's a pretty impressive resume. And I pulled some stories there to make Scott very happy today. So I can't wait to cover those. So thanks for being on the show, Scott. Hey, shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They really, I assure you, go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. And don't forget that special discount code, Radio15, in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. We also have ComplianTechnologies.com. We're a satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio with Westwood One for the last year. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And not only do they help you get people that are going to go to your agency, work there, and you can retain them for the right reasons, they also are helping us reach about 1 million people on the stream right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, so check that out. And shout out to Brian Burns for the TampaFreePress.com. I talked to Brian yesterday. He's running all of our content, getting us on MSN. He's doing a great job. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com. And finally, our very own Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And don't forget, we have relaunched Leo Affairs at LeoAffairs.ch. Not because the first two letters are the first two letters of my first name, but because it's hosted in the Sweden area. That's why we have this .ch extension, which is for your protection and your privacy. So I just went through all the sponsors and stuff. Let's kind of whet the appetite on what the world we're going to be talking about today. And so we've got a couple main topics. The first one, FBI Director Kash Patel files a $250 million defamation lawsuit against The Atlantic. Yeah. Yeah, a woke publication is putting out some crap. We've also got Vanishing Act. FBI launches a massive probe in the 11 missing or dead defense scientists. That's alarming. We're going to find out what's behind that. I dropped the third main story because it was too close to something we'd already covered, Scott, just FYI for that. Our third article, though, this should interest Scott. Elite warriors could soon carry concealed weapons across the United States, all 50 states and territories. How can that happen? We're going to explain to you. Yeah, there's going to be, there hopefully will be some changes to the LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act of 2004. We've got Cleveland police officer shoots an armed man during a domestic violence call. And then we got body cam footage showing deputies fatally shooting a suspect after Charlotte County manhunt. Then we're going to jump back. We got badge, gun, PTSD. Texas Supreme Court, it backs the DPS, Department of Public Safety, firing a ranger, an Army Ranger, after it's a Texas Ranger, after a school standoff. But it brings an interesting case, something similar to what I have when I was at the union in my last 6 years with the police department. I'm curious what people think about it. If you think that they should have fired this guy or not, it's a conversation. We've got a 58-year-old who was armed with a BB gun, with a BB rifle, actually, fatally shot by Denver police officer. And then lastly, right thing to do, we have a K-9 paramedic, and I believe this is in Kansas. He said, well, it says that he will not be punished for treating a dying police dog. That's an incredible story. And yeah, that's in Kansas. So if we have time to get to that, we will. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead. And by guys, I mean Scott. Let's go and get started. So the LibertyDaily.com and the TampaFP.com, the free press. Notice I didn't say The Atlantic. So this was in the Epic Times. FBI Director Kash Patel on Monday filed a $250 million defamation lawsuit against The Atlantic and its staff writer Sarah Fitzpatrick over an article that was alleging false claims, according to Patel. I mean, in all honesty, I don't believe they're true, but I tell you, the media, it's almost like Cash is taking something out of Donald Trump's playbook as far as, you know, suing the media, even though Trump's lawsuit, he has drugged them through the mud, but he has been successful too. In a lawsuit filed in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of the Columbia Circuit, Patel, our FBI director, stated that the magazine and Fitzpatrick, the writer, published the article with actual malice, despite being expressly warned hours before the publication that the central allegations were categorically false. Also, despite having abundant publicly available information that contradicted those allegations, and despite obvious and fatal defects in their own sourcing. I know that I hate it when they use a number of anonymous sources. You know, the Atlantic article by Fitzpatrick, it cited anonymous sources claiming Patel, he drank in excess. His colleagues were concerned. At one point, they said that Fitzpatrick wrote that multiple current officials and former officials have stayed close to him, meaning Patel, because they were concerned about the alleged drinking. They also claimed that President Trump is seeking to replace him, Patel, following the ouster from former Attorney General Pam Bondi. The lawsuit stated that the defendant's, quote, conscious decision to ignore the detailed, specific, and substantive refutations of in the pre-publication letter and their refusal to give a reasonable amount of time for the FBI and Director Patel to respond is among the strongest possible evidence of actual malice. And according to the lawsuit, his lawyer said that the Atlantic has a documented long-running editorial animus against the FBI director, stated that defendants cannot evade responsibility for their malicious lies by hiding behind sham sources. And we don't even know what the sources are, right? The Epoch Times reached out to the Atlantic for comment. They got no response. And it says that in an April 17th post on X, Fitzpatrick, this is the writer, defended a reporting and said that she spoke with two dozen people who were familiar with Patel's conduct before publishing the story, but she doesn't say or give a hint who they were. She also said that in response to 19 detailed questions that Patel allegedly responded, print it, all false, I'll see you in court, bring your checkbook. The magazine story was initially, now they did change the title because they initially called it Cash Patel's Erratic Behavior Could Cost Him His Job. And remember, they're doing this after Pam Bondi left. And then they changed it to the FBI director as MIA. But I mean, personally, I've seen absolutely no evidence of that. And it seems like he's just absolutely freaking killing it. Scott, I hate because, you know, you've only got so much control over so much and you can file a lawsuit and stuff. But, you know, once stories like this get out there, especially if they're not true, the damage has been done, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here. I mean, the media obviously is biased. There's no doubt about it. OK, so you have that. You have to, they have been proven to say false statements. That's been proven. So you have all that going on. So I get the, you know, it's a very weird thing when you say you have informants and you're not going to mention their names. It's almost like I could just make up whatever I say and say, no, I have 12 people, you know, and someone would say, oh, well, you have 12 sources that are saying the same thing. It must be correct. But I could just pull that number out of my, you know what, and just say it, because there needs to be some checks and balances here. So, and I get it. Sources, I mean, in many cases need to be protected or else they're not going to come forward. But at the same time, there's got to be some way of validating that. And because I'm with you, I think this is all crap. You know, any time someone has an opportunity, the media, the mainstream media has an opportunity to smear someone in this administration, Cash Patel, Donald Trump, anybody, whatever, they're going to take that. They've already proven that's their MO. So, you know, I don't believe it. And so what if he did go out and drink a little much when, you know, the hockey team, who cares? That's being human. Obviously, he didn't do anything crazy or radical, whatever. I mean, let's just back up here. Stop acting like childish kids here trying to pick and poke and try to every little thing. He has a drinking problem, whatever. I mean, come on, you know. So I don't believe it. I think it's something that's been thrown out of context, and I hope, because that's the only thing we have. When I say we, like anybody has is lawsuits. They can threaten them. There's no, you know, what else do you have? So you have to go after them with lawsuits because you have to hurt them where it hurts most, which is in their pocketbook.
So here's an example of what looked, and there is a system, there is a way, because this happens in police work, you know, all the time where we have confidential sources. We have to protect our identity, but they want to make sure we're not, you know, fabricating stuff. But so look what happens. We're already hoping that, you know, we're already making excuses for, well, what happens? What if he had an extra drink here or there? You brought the hockey thing. And so we don't even know if he even drinks. I mean, but we're already, and I'm not faulting you, Scott, because in my brain, I'm thinking the same thing too, even if it's true. What's it? But, you know, he may not even drink a drop of liquor in his life like Trump. Maybe he's never even had a drink, but we're already like, even a part of that's true, which is wrong mindset to be in, because they're accomplishing, they're doing damage, you know.
Well, I think he's on video drinking a beer or chugging a beer or something.
I think maybe.
Yeah, when they're all in there, like, everybody, you know, they're partying.
I remember. I just don't remember the beer thing, but I remember being in the locker room, and I had look. I thought that was a great thing. So let me kind of tell you what happens in the police world when you do cases and you have undercover informants and stuff. You know what you do is you don't parade them in court in an open courtroom. Although I had one judge that did that, and he burned my informant because he insisted that he come out. And I can't remember exactly how all that ended, but I had, in my opinion, he was a corrupt judge, and he was doing, you know, stuff like that. So, that said, you have a meeting with the judge in the chambers that's private, and the other side doesn't necessarily get invited because, you know, if you've got, let's just say that there's somebody in the office supplying information about Cash Patel, you know, you bring a legitimate source. And they appear before the judge to satisfy that query, okay, without you know, revealing who that guy is, if his identity is in fact protected. But I know that you and I both feel the same way. If there is some truth to this allegation, then they should not, I mean, if there's truth to it, they shouldn't be liable. If they exaggerated or there's untruth, then they should be held liable for what is untruthful or maybe wasn't vetted or sourced. But they need to cough it up. If they don't want to produce the sources, then guess what? There's repercussions for that. So yes. I hope they hold their feet to the fire.
I do too.
All right. So we got a commercial break coming up. So I think we've got just enough time in order to whet the appetite for the next story. Vanishing Act, FBI launches massive probe into 11 missing or dead defense scientists, which is kind of scary. We're going to cover that next. Stick with us, guys, and be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We've got a special forces operative, former Green Beret, Delta Force operator, Scott Steyer. So thanks for being back on the show, Scott. I love having you on. You know, we're ready to talk about the missing scientists. I see here we got a lot of people on, Todd Irving and Betty Dunn and a bunch of guys, Sergeant George, and all these people that are either on Facebook. And we're streaming to, like, I think about 5 Facebook pages right now. We're on YouTube as well. And then popping over to Rumble, we got Bill BC, we got MVS, and the whole crew over there too. So thanks for watching the show, guys. We appreciate it. And oh, they want to know what the Leo Affairs website is. It's the new Leo Affairs. It's Leo, that's L-E-O, Affairs, .ch. That is what the website is. And that is for my old website that let you talk about law enforcement issues anonymously without the fear of repercussion from your agency. I had over 500 law enforcement agencies in 18 countries and over 400 volunteer moderators when I sold it 12 years ago. The new company, I'll nicely say, I had some guarantees that were made to me when I sold it. And taking it down was one of the guarantees. So it's down. So I'm resurrecting it, and it's already taken off, at least locally here in this Florida area. And we're just trying to start growing it, expanding it again. So yeah, legalaffairs.ch. So let's go. We left off. Let's go and go to our second main topic. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We have a vanishing act. FBI launches a massive probe in the 11, 18. It's probably 18 by now, Scott, but 11 missing or dead defense scientists. So I'm going to go through this article quickly. There may be some new information in there. I suspect that there is, because even I learned a thing or two. Federal investigators have launched they're calling it a holistic review into the mysterious deaths and disappearances of 11 scientists that are linked to high-level aerospace, nuclear, military research. So think about that. These guys are connected to aerospace, nuclear, and military research. and they're like missing or dead. This is like scary. And we've got 11 of them that we know of. The probe confirmed by the White House and the FBI, it aims to determine if there is a pattern among the cases, which span from California all the way to Massachusetts. They include some of the nation's top experts in planetary defense and nuclear fusion. Now think about that for a minute. And don't even think, we just found out that SpaceX is our space program was heavily involved and has been and continues to be with what's going on with Iran right now, too. Now, the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, she announced that the administration is coordinating with the FBI and the Department of Energy to identify any potential commonalities. And FBI Director Kash Patel, so apparently he's not MIA, Scott, because he's here being quoted in the article. He confirmed the agency is now centralizing evidence from various local jurisdictions to look for connections involving classified access or foreign interference. The investigation has put a spotlight on L.A. County, Los Angeles County, because they had four prominent researchers with ties to Caltech and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory among the 11 cases. So they're missing four. It gives some other names of some other people. I'm just reading the bios of some of these other, like Monica Reza, aerospace engineer and Aerojet Rocketdyne, and just she vanished on June 22nd, 2025, hiking in the National Forest. And despite seeing her friend just moments before she disappeared, no trace has been found. Carl Grillmar, astrophysicist known for his work on dark matter. I mean, dude, this is just like another expert on comets and asteroids. Died on July 30th. Cause of death has not been released. Dude, it goes on and on and on. Your thoughts, Scott?
Scary. I try not to look, you know, like, okay, and I'm trying not to think of it in like a conspiratorial type of manner, but that's just odd to me. I mean, and let's just face it, like if somebody wants, if a foreign agent, which they all want information on what we're doing, that's just, we're all playing that game. If they can't get the information, like this person is not willing to be corrupted, he's not going to play ball. Maybe there's threats that he's going to go. Cause I mean, usually they're going to get bumped. They're going to try to, you know, befriend you somewhere in your daily life. You know, they're going to do their research and then sometimes they convert, they take the money and they sell secrets. And then a lot of times they don't. So if they don't, what are their options? Okay. Well, the only other option is to kidnap somebody and take them and then make them or torture them and get information. Now, the death thing, that's a little bit odd there, unless it's like, okay, they're not trying to necessarily get information, or maybe they did, it didn't work, so they eliminated them. It makes you wonder because you never know. I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, it's plausible, and there's that many in that short amount of time in the same industry. I mean, come on. I mean, when you start narrowing it down, I mean, what are the odds? I mean,
so what's the magic number? I mean, we're having this conversation and there's already 11.
I know.
So why are we not having this conversation when there were like four?
Yeah. I agree totally. So it's about time. I'm glad they're doing it. It's something we definitely need to investigate. I mean, that's to me, it's just common sense. I mean, just at least do our due diligence to at least eliminate. Oh no, this is just the craziest, you know, coincidence ever. Okay, yeah. Well, at least there was an investigation. But yeah, something needs to be done. And I'm like you, Chip. I'm surprised it's taken this long. I mean, come on.
If they don't come back with a link or something, then I'm going to be even more suspicious, right? I mean, you know, there's no way. I'm telling you, there is no way. There's no plausible explanation that is benign.
And look at the circumstances too. Look at the guy. He was in New Mexico, the Air Force guy. He left home without a wallet, without his phone, and he had a pistol. And his wife of, I mean, I don't know, 30 some years, whatever, knows him better than probably himself. It's like, this is odd. This is not what he does. And he goes missing. Like, that in itself, I mean, that's like a major red flag. And so you have to wonder, like, what does he know? What was he doing? Who was he talking to? Why did he carry a gun? Why didn't he bring anything on a hike? Nobody does that.
Yeah, I know. So, and we're not conspiracy theorists, guys, but we're just saying, I mean, you just
state the obvious.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you just, you know, if you have just basic intelligence, the flags have to start going off. You just can't. And don't believe everything that people tell you. Don't believe everything you see. Certainly don't believe everything the government tells you. Guys, it's time for a second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing you with non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've actually, as Scott knows, they have over 250,000 deployments. Guess what? No injuries, no deaths. That's an amazing, unbelievable stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, if you're transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip and Scott sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret and Delta Force operative Scott Steyert. Scott was, we had a question, and we're going to go back to the we're on radio right now, but we're going back to the show that we left off at in just a second. But we had Quentin Carey, a streamer from Facebook, that asked basically a question: why do cops harass us citizens, even though they're just like, you know, they put their shoes on the same way, your pants on the same way we do? And the short answer is they don't. You know, the vast majority of cops don't do that. But absent the information, I don't know who you are, what you're doing in your spare time, or what you're doing to make cops want to pull you over and stuff, you know. But odds are is that the issue is something that you are doing. Odds are, you know, and you're asking a question like that. It's not a problem around the country, and cops, you know, real. Although we, you know, just like I know special force operators, you never confuse confidence with arrogance. Mm-hmm. Would that be an accurate statement? I think that you could appreciate that, Scott. Right? Absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of people confuse the two. And Scott was talking about prejudice and bias. And so I read a very interesting article, because people talk about prejudice and stuff, but the article explained the difference between prejudice and bias. And there's certainly a difference. And bias is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's something in our line of work, in Scott's line of work, you know, special forces and in law enforcement. If you don't have bias, you're dead. You have to have bias. So bias is an educated awareness of things going on. Like, so when I talk about a white dude being a predominantly black area that's high traffic crime or a dope hole and stuff, yeah, you got a bias on that. That's not a prejudice. That's a bias. Or you have a guy that's walking down the street and his hands are swinging, but one hand is staying closer to the body than the other hand. And you're thinking that guy may have a concealed gun, you know, a concealed weapon or firearm. You know, those are biases, which are healthy and good. So, I mean, everything can be, you know, taken, any good thing can be taken and made a bad thing. But I'm just pointing those things out. Scott was telling a story when we were coming back to break. He was finishing it up about his son being stopped by a cop, and his son was at a property with a skate park, and the cop just wasn't aware of all the information. And as soon as what your son, I guess, told him, and he was aware of it, it kind of changed everything, right?
Yeah. So he said, yeah, we're in here, we're going skating. And so the cop was like, oh, I didn't know, because it says private property and it's not open to the public. And so he looked in there and he saw, you know, some kids in there and they're skating and it's all kinds of stuff. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, you know, he just wanted to make sure he wasn't doing anything illegal, because that area, he said, look, he goes, I don't care, you kids, as long as you guys aren't, you know, getting in trouble, this is fine. But don't be here after dark. There's a lot of drug activity and crime. So and then my son was like, oh, no, we're just here during the day. We don't come at night. So that's all he did. And he turned around and they left. It's like it's the cop did his job. He wasn't there to harass. He was there to, right, you know, ask questions. And once he found out that there was no criminal activity involved, he didn't care about it's, you know, the no trespass. He's like, that's not what he was looking for. And so he let him go. So, I mean, then that happens a lot. You know, we're all guilty of it. But I would just say have some empathy for the other, you know, for the cop. They have a hard job. A lot of times they have to go into situations they have very little information on. They don't know what, you know. So that's what I would say.
I love it. I mean, I love it. When I go to the airport and they don't frisk me or whatever, you know, if I have a belt or I have a dog tag on or whatever, you know, I forget to take it off, you know, I love it when they do that, when they do it, because I have nothing to worry about, right? I'm not doing anything illegal and stuff, you know? So I love it. I love it when these guys are not lazy and they do their jobs. They do what we're paying them to do and they're looking out for our best interest. So I have a little bit difference of opinion than what our streamer did. So hopefully that answers your question. Now, let's get to this next topic. I can't wait to talk about. If you're former special forces, and I believe that's pretty much what it's covering, but there were some special forces applications that I was a little surprised of, to be honest with you, Scott. I hopefully you can explain that to me. Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Our buddy Brian Burns runs that over there. Elite warriors could soon carry concealed weapons across all 50 states. And I will throw in there also U.S. territories as well. It's huge. And it's not the connected states. I mean, like Alaska's in there and Hawaii. It is great. Representative Pat Harrigan of North Carolina, of all places, introduced a new bill on Thursday that would allow active duty and honorably discharged special operations forces to carry concealed firearms throughout the U.S. and in those other places I told you about, the territories. The proposal is titled the Special Operations Forces Concealed Carry Act. And I'm going to say it again slower in case anybody wants to do research on it. Special Operations Forces Concealed Carry Act. And they're granting elite military members the same federal concealed carry privileges currently held by retired law enforcement officers. We call it the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, or LEOSA. And it was formerly known as H.R. 218. But that just means that it was, like a House bill at one point before it was passed. The legislation targets qualified special operators, Navy SEALs, Green Berets like Scott, Army Rangers, whose training and marksmanship standards often exceed those required of law enforcement. Federal law had already trusts retired cops to carry concealed nationwide, according to Harrigan. That makes sense, but it makes no sense that a retired SEAL, Green Beret, someone who spent a career mastering firearms under the most demanding conditions in the world, has no equivalent recognition under federal law. I agree. If passed, the bill would amend the LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act of 2004. It would amend that act to include them. The existing law allows qualified active and retired LEOs, law enforcement officers, to carry concealed weapons across state lines, regardless of local or state bans. And that includes, like, even they have a magazine ban in like California where you can't have a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds, right? But you technically could, according to LEOSA. They cannot restrict me, the state of California, but I only carry a 10-round magazine when I go because I don't want to push the buttons, you know. Harrigan's bill would expand the framework to include specific military roles. And this is where my question comes in, Scott, because special forces in my head, but they say special forces communication sergeants, Navy special warfare operators. So in my head, I'm thinking these are guys with freaking radios or something, or they're up in an E-2 Hawkeye or whatever, or Marine Scout snipers, Air Force parachute or pararescue jumpers. That they're including them as well. The bill specifies that this authority would be permanent, which I love, for those who maintain an honorable discharge status and remain eligible under federal law to possess a firearm. In other words, they're not a convicted felon or something like that. Notably, the legislation removes the requirement for an annual firearms requalification, citing the high level of expertise already required for these military roles. So I have to qualify annually for LEOSA, but I'm assuming it makes it sound like you guys are not going to have to qualify annually, which is, wow, that's pretty cool. The move comes as concealed carry numbers continue to climb. Listen to this stat. As of mid-2024, this is like mid-2024. This is like almost 2 years ago. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association reported that back 2 years ago, 22.9 million permit holders nationwide. That's about 23 million. Under the proposed timeline, the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs would have 180 days to implement a program for issuing the necessary identification cards if the bill becomes law, so that, Scott, you could get a card, your LEOSA card and stuff. So this is, dude, I applaud you, dude. This is exciting stuff.
It is exciting stuff. And I was telling you earlier, I remember being in the team room and we're all talking about this because I think it was like one of us went down and we got our concealed carry permit in North Carolina, which I'm not surprised that North Carolina Senator is one who proposed the bill because of that's the home of Fort Bragg Special Operations. So I'm not surprised at that. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I really can't see any downside to this. I mean, the level of training. I mean, I trained law enforcement for years, and you know, the actual marksmanship side of things, and identifying threats and being able to do that quickly under stress. There's no comparison, and it's just because that's what, you know, we were selected and trained to do, and that's what we trained a lot of. So I think it makes sense, because the way I look at it is you have all these special operation folks out there, active and retired, sprinkled all over America, who are very, very competent in their skills. And now they're kind of sprinkled everywhere. You know, they're at the mall, they're at, or wherever they're, you know, still, because I mean, they're still, I guess, within, there's other places that you're not still allowed to carry, I'm assuming, but wherever they're allowed to carry, but they're sprinkled everywhere, at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, whatever. And that's a good thing, because, you know, if an active shooter does happen and presents itself, you know, I'd like to have somebody like myself there to quickly eliminate the threat. So
I love it. So I hope it goes through. So all you guys, former military, you're watching the show, you have some special forces, and I think it was time to return, but I'm hoping that, I mean, I know you can have a career in the military, but I'm assuming that they're going for the guys that did their, you know, they did their 4 years, or maybe they signed up for some extra time. But I mean, to me, that you're good to go. 4 years, you know, the training is so, the level is so high. And then of course, having, you know, special forces, being in special forces for like 20 years or so, I don't know what the stats are on that, but I would think that would probably be a little bit more difficult to do with age mm-hmm. and abilities and all that stuff. So I'm so excited about that. Guys, we're coming up on our third commercial break, and we've got a story with a video component coming up. So we're going to be covering that. So stick with us. It's going to be fun. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, they are the first company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And if you have that certification, even if you got it 5 years ago, now they've got a good deal for you, because they have partnered with Smarter Degree. And your certification as a firearm specialist with GunLearn.com, even over the last 5 years, it's now worth college credits through Smarter Degrees University Partners Program. So yeah, college credits. So they've been doing this since 1996, and they've been teaching everything that Leo's law enforcement officers need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can start today with online training, or you can register to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can also sign up your own agency to hold a seminar with no charge. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com and hook up with Dan O'Kelly to get more information. Again, that's GunLearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret and Delta Force operative Scott Steyert. We're talking about some interesting things. Actually, we just got done talking about a proposed bill that would allow special forces operators like Scott, Green Beret, Delta. They didn't even mention Delta, which I was kind of surprised, but I know Delta puts people together from different units, and there's a lot of cross training and stuff, but it would allow them to essentially carry under LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act of 2004, which pretty much lets active and retired officers in good standing carry anywhere in the United States, including territories, which is kind of cool. And so it would let our special forces partners, you know, do that as well, which I think is a fantastic idea. But of course, every time this comes up, there are people that say, you know, it's the me too argument, you know, me too, you know, throw me in there, let me do it, you know? So, I don't necessarily feel the same way personally about civilians. I know Brett Bartlett would, I just have some concerns. The responsible thing is to have some level of training. You can already get state permits in a lot of places without getting any training. But I understand the Second Amendment, you know, guarantees. I don't want to walk on that, but that's just my personal preference. I don't want to get taken out by some dude with a gun that doesn't know what he's freaking doing. And I know that Scott knows. Scott, if he sees a situation, he's automatically going to be thinking, the guy, just because we know automatically, just because we have a dude with a gun does not mean he's a bad guy. You know, we realize that. So did I leave anything else, Scott? You know, you got pretty lips, Scott, when you move them like that. And I almost hear like the wind going back and forth there. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, but the training and that's the thing that I think civilians don't quite understand. It's like, what's going to help make a decision is that you're not overwhelmed by stress, which means like the situation that is at hand is not going to affect or cloud your judgment. So when you operate in that stressful environment all the time, and you know, like coming up, like there's someone shooting and you're, you know, we're not freaking out, and it's like, okay, we address it. And so we calmly make decisions. So we're able to do that. So yeah, we might not be, let's say, as good as a shot as like a professional shooter. That's a grandmaster level shooter in IPSC or something like that. True. But you know, we're also have that stress inoculation as well that helps us make decisions. Yeah. So it's all there, you know, and yeah. So I think it's a great idea. So we'll see where it goes.
All right, cool. Can't wait. So we have a story with a video component at rumble.com. This is Butters, the channel. Cleveland police officer shoots an armed man during a domestic violence call.
Let me see your hand.
Police, step out.
Drop the gun. Hey, get cover. Drop the gun. Drop the gun!
Three shots fired.
He's down.
Put that gun down now!
Put it down, bro! Put it down!
Did you want to take something out of order, Scott? You okay doing the Cleveland one or the DB call?
All right, that's
Cleveland,
fine.
Cleveland, Ohio. So according to the Cleveland police, an officer shot a man while responding to a domestic violence situation around 1:30 in the morning, which is when they usually happen. And so the officers, they later learned that the involved subject, 33-year-old Charles Motley Jr., was in a car outside the home. So we're kind of armed with all the information, but the cops didn't know that when they were there. The caller told the officers that the guy had a firearm. He was threatening suicide by cop. According to the incident report, when the officers get there, Motley, our bad guy, he exits the vehicle, and he's brandishing a shotgun. In the body cam footage, officers gave multiple commands to drop the weapon. Instead, he raises the weapon at the officers. One officer fired the weapon, struck Motley in the head. I'm going to cover that in my show notes in a second. He was reported in stable condition. He gets shot in the head, and I believe this was a pistol shot. Officers recovered the firearm on the scene. Motley's currently in jail being held on a $50,000 bond. Now let's jump to my show notes real quick here. We got a couple body cams. So in the first one, and I recommend it, watch it from the beginning. As officers, they're dealing with this armed guy. He's inside the parked vehicle, DV, domestic violence call. And so he gets out of the car, though. And it's kind of hard to tell what kind of a weapon he's got. They circle it, but it ended up being a shotgun. So at the 40-second mark, our officer running by another officer that's standing out in the middle of the street, and the officer runs by and says, dude, take cover, dude, because this guy's in the car getting out with a freaking shotgun. Our guy with a pistol has some cover, and he does a one-shot headshot with a pistol. It looked like it was a decent distance. Not to mention the fact we have another cop that's got a long gun, didn't take the shot. So the dude goes down, and I never saw. Well, we'll get to the guy not doing the cover. They do a slow motion of this, and then we go to the body cam number two, and that's our guy with the long gun, and I'll let Scott talk about him. I mean, he's pointed at the bad guy, and then he charges his weapon, and then the pistol shot goes off. And then the third body cam, we have our cop that's standing out, no cover. And the dude runs by him, and he starts backing away. He starts backing, creating distance, but he doesn't go, there's cover to the right, there's cover to the left. The dude's just, I mean, it drives me freaking crazy. Scott Steyer.
So when I saw him charge his weapon, I was like, oh, my God, right there, just... But at least he finally figured it out. I'm not giving him a pass on that because, I mean, when you come out of that vehicle, you better be ready to shoot at a moment's notice. You better be able to employ that weapon. I look at it like this, too. If a law enforcement officer, if he's the one who on the long gun, okay, just like, let's say, I'm gonna draw a parallel here. If we're doing an assault, you know, we have a support by fire, you know, that's all our heavy machine guns, you know, crew serve weapons. they go into position, they have a role. They're not going to go in and clear the building. They're not going to do it because they have a long gun, right? But they're going to set up to where they can have suppressant fire and stuff like that. They have a duty. If I'm a cop and I get out and I have a long gun and everybody else has a pistol, I should be thinking, I need to go support this the best way I can with this advantage, which is a long gun. That is a huge advantage. And he just kind of stayed there. It's like the minute you see where the threat's at, the first thing I'm thinking is, where do I need to go to support this? You know, and then I don't want to be like this with everybody else, because I've talked about this many, many other times on the show. It's like cops have this, and there's another video as well that it illustrates this, but they stay together. It's like this comfort thing. I almost think like it's like, get over there, because one person can't shoot two people away from each other, you know, right. Like flanking somebody. That's why you do it. But if you're all together, all I got to do is just start shooting, and there's a chances are I can shoot, you know, hit as many as I want. So, you know, just I think maybe that law enforcement officer, he needs to go back and get some retraining. Maybe he was overwhelmed by the situation. But yeah, it was.
Let me throw this other one in. We got 2.5, but let me cruise through this. This is the other one you're talking about. The Rumble.com. This is better. Body cam footage shows deputies fatally shooting a suspect after a Charlotte County manhunt.
He's armed. Put the gun down now. Put it down. Shots fired. Suspect down.
So Charlotte County, Florida. Body cam shows the moment a suspected gunman killed by Charlotte County deputies and a Northport police officer after a deadly shooting. So we have Charlotte County Sheriff Bill Prummel said the alleged shooter, Matthew Ryan Cross, walked up to Charles Vandeveer, his neighbor's front door. He shoots the guy in the head on March the 30th. And then the sheriff said that altercation started a few days prior after this guy stole a gun from Anderson's home. So according to the sheriff's office, Cross got a ride to the store, and Cross is our bad guy, approximately 12:45 p.m. He then walks in the woods. It gets dropped off. Deputies were in the area investigating the man with a gun call, and they did not know it was Cross. At 1:20 in the afternoon, this guy emerges from behind a tree, shoots at deputies. One deputy discharges a service weapon, and then Cross. And now we saw a picture of him falling, going down, but I guess he gets up off camera, runs into the woods, and now the deputies hear another shot, but they're all huddling together around the cars and stuff on the road. There's a line of trees and stuff. This dude comes out with the gun pointed up to his head at 3:12 p.m., And man, they light this guy up. He's walking towards them, gun to his head, and they received numerous mental health calls over the years involving this guy, Scott Steyer.
Yeah, so the one that I'm talking about. So when he was coming out of the tree line, I can at least they were like, you had a team over here, you had a team over here. Just the teams within itself had one was flanking, one was kind of the main element. Let's just call it that. That was okay in my mind, because they had cover where there was no cover. But I'm talking about before, when you ran off, the cops are approaching. You have one cop with a shield and his pistol, and then everybody else behind him. Like, and I think it's actually a term, like the black snake or something like that. It's like, come on, dude, like spread out. Like that you're assuming that shield is going to, you know, what if he shoots the guy in the knee? And now all of a sudden everybody falls down. It's chaos. Maybe they start shooting. One guy backs off. Then you have guns behind each other, which you never want to do. If you're shooting, you want to shoot behind somebody who's in close proximity. That's the way to shoot your buddy in the back of the head in that chaos. So spread out. It irritates me, man, when I see that. It's because it's not hard to figure out. It's like, but they don't, you know, like I said before, law enforcement, they typically do not train in small unit tactics. So they're not thinking spread out, flank and maneuver and stuff like that. Now they are when they go hands on, you know, like if you go into a parking lot and they're approaching a subject, you know, and it's whatever, they'll get to the side of them. They do it all the time. Cops are really good at that. But as soon as somebody has a gun, they always get behind that piece of cover, and it's a false sense of security.
Well, great show, Scott Steyer. Thank you again. Good luck with that, that getting on Leosa. A shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com. We have Gunlearn.com and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. Don't forget the Gulls code, Radio15, to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, live, 12 noon Eastern.